people get confused between cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. One is an application of the other, but blockchain technology is very useful to us as real estate investors. We're all using our real estate businesses, our investments, ideally to help us accomplish some sort of goal financially.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Paul Sparks, welcome to the show.
Hey, Neil. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited that you're here. Hey, all of us get started in real estate somehow, somewhere, some way. Tell me, how did you first get into real estate?
So I'm an engineer by trade, and I got into real estate because I was sick and tired of doing what I was doing before. I actually found myself into sort of a sales role for the first decade of my career, and I was selling tech innovation to some of the largest companies, you know, in the world, Amazon, United Airlines, Walmart, those types of companies. And, you know, I was on a plane two cities a week for just years and years and years. And then I met this girl and I was like, I got to find a way to stay home more. Through that process, it was like, well, I'd buy a house, I'd move out in a year, we'd move to another one. She hated that at the time. She's like, that was a really good decision. Back then, she hated it. We did that and collected a handful of properties, short-term rentals, you know, long-term rentals. And I got to the point where I was like, there's something to this. I think I could probably make this my full-time gig if I wanted to. And I wanted to. When COVID hit, I lost, you know, a couple large deals that I'd put in with United Airlines. Of course, the airline industry got, you know, hammered.
Right.
So I found my way into full-time real estate. And that's sort of how I got in.
What year was that? What year did you first get in your first property, let's say?
I think I bought my first property in 2017. And it was just like every single year since then, I was just buying a house. And, you know, here in Denver, the average homes are 500, 700, something in that range. So, you know, I hear these guys who have collected, you know, dozens and dozens of rental properties. And it's like, well, you know, I got four, but they had enough cash flow and enough equity to allow me to, like I said, to go full time at it.
Yeah, no, that's great. So when you went full time at it, what did that focus become then for you? Where in the, was it fix and flip? Was it more rental short-term stuff? What did that look like?
Well, you know, I really didn't know much about construction. What I did know how to do really well is sell. I'd spent a decade learning how to structure complicated deals with some of the, like I said, some of the best companies in the world. And so I looked at a couple of the operators and people I wanted to be in business with. And I asked myself, well, how do I add value to what they're doing? Why would they want to be in business with me? Yeah. And I said, well, I'll just use my sales skills to go out and find deals and raise money because I want to be in business with these types of people. And that's what they need. And so we started a small little wholesale operation, which I still run. We probably do about, you know, three deals or so a month here in Denver. And, you know, we dabbled in some fix and flips. The first couple of years, I pressed a bunch of buttons. Like I just needed to see what happened when we do all these things. I found out I'm terrible at fix and flipping, much better at sourcing deals and sourcing capital. So that's where I've sort of aligned myself now.
It sounds like you came out of the sales business, right? That's your sweet spot. And then you went in and, as you said, pressed a bunch of buttons and then have come back to make peace with yourself, if you will, and realize that you are in the sales business, right? And stay out of the construction side of the end of the business.
And leverage your, you know, relationships. As you know, this business is all about relationships, period, end of story. So I let those guys do what they do well. And I focus on, you know, the things I've spent a career trying to get good at.
I like what you said there. You leaned into your value proposition, what it is that you do best, which is the sales piece. And when you can do that, you can add value to other people's worlds and leverage, take those relationships further, be a complementary skill set to what they do and they have.
Yep.
Yeah. Wholesaling business, I'm just curious, as the market has churned here, you and I are recording this at the end of beginning of December, that is in 2022. As the market's churned over the course of this year, what have you guys had to do? Have you had to pivot? And if so, how?
We have pivoted, absolutely. It's gotten tough. I mean, as you know, the wholesale game is real tough. And it feels like the sellers haven't quite come to terms with the way that the market has shifted. And so oftentimes it feels like we're just trying to, you know, lowball these people for absolutely as much as, you know, we can get. And it's like, well, the reality is that's actually where I need to buy it in order to mitigate my downside risk. And so, You know, we do a little bit of wholesaling, but where we found a lot of success is through specifically through novations and through some creative strategies. What I love about novations is we are able to get that seller a significantly higher amount. We add value to our end buyer because oftentimes they can come in and they can pick out certain things that they want with the house. And that strategy has worked really well for us. We just got one yesterday. We're looking at another one that we'll hopefully pick up early this week. And it also is helpful because a lot of agents in Denver are struggling as well, right, to find opportunities, but they have these average homes, right? They're a little dated. They're just not great, like retail sales. They're not beautiful, you know, like they see in the HGTV. And it's, you know, a lot of times they don't know what to do with this. So we can add a lot of value to these agents. And that's really where we're finding traction in this shifting market right now.
How are you adding value to agents' world?
So when an agent brings us that opportunity before they take it to market, we've done a couple things. Oftentimes, if it's a light rehab, we will do that work prior to putting it on the market. So that way, when we're putting it out, it's great pictures. They're not selling a house with shag carpet and dated paint, 20 years old. Cabinets are roughed up, right? It's really tough to sell those properties in this market. They're just going to sit. And that's a huge fear that these agents have. So when they bring us those opportunities, we can do that work and let them sell it on the other side, but nice and pretty and new with great pictures. And it moves a lot quicker. They can get paid a lot quicker.
So in that scenario, you're not necessarily buying the house. You're putting an agreement together that establishes a value, a defined price for the seller today as is. You're then improving that value and you get a piece or all of the delta.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Are you doing anything on terms with seller finance?
We are. I'd be lying if we're saying we're doing a ton of deals. We are negotiating a lot of deals. We're sorting through that process. It's something we hadn't really done very much of. I feel like we're getting to the point where we're getting better at negotiating them. Yeah. Problem with my market here in Denver is it's just not a very good cash flow market. It's tough to make these deals work. So we're getting real creative. We're sharpening the axe. We're getting better every day. But no, we're not doing a ton of volume with those. It's an opportunity that we see in the coming 3 to 6 months. Trying to sharpen the axe a little.
Couldn't agree with you more. It seems like that with a ever-changing market and interest rates continuing to rise at this point, that everybody needs to sharpen their axe, to use your word, when it comes to their skills on as it relates to buying with seller terms. Tell me about your team structure. What's that look like?
We have one acquisitions person. My wife actually works with me. She is our agent. She does a lot of our retail sales. And so we look at really like 3 or 4 opportunities. We're either going to wholesale it, we're going to do a novation, we're going to look at a creative strategy, or we're going to take it retail. So we've got an acquisitions person, my wife, who handles the retail. I've got a project manager who is fantastic. He's been doing, helping me with our projects. But what we're doing now is we're adding a component to the construction side where we have great subs and we've built great relationships. We want to keep those guys busy. So we're starting to do some work on the, we've got a great relationship with a lot of house hackers here in town. A lot of, you know, as you probably know, when you get into construction, it's really hard to know who to trust in terms of contractors. I've gotten kicked in the teeth a million times from that. And so we feel that we can add a lot of value to these people because we've solved that problem on who to trust. We're not always the cheapest, but we're picking up these types of little, you know, remodel jobs for first time, second time homeowners. So we've got him. I've got an executive assistant who's really more of like a COO sort of type of role. She's helping me with a lot of the operations. And then we've got a full-time videographer who helps us with our content and our personal branding, which is a big part of our business as well.
Yeah. Talk to me more about that personal branding component in terms of how you're utilizing that and what the net outcome is for you guys. Is it primarily real estate, or you have other businesses that you use that content for as well? Real estate being buying properties is what I mean specifically.
Yeah. Well, everybody may not agree with this, but what I have, the way that I've built my business is that we build it off of relationships. We do very little outbound ad marketing spend. That wasn't the case for a long time. We tried to outspend a lot of our competitors. And what I realized is in a market like Denver, or in a, you know, a highly competitive market, it felt like I was shooting Nerf bullets a lot of times. You can throw out $15,000, $20,000, $50,000 a month, and you're going to get crushed by the $250,000 a month budget from all of the big competitors out there. And so I decided to stop trying to compete in that way. What we like to compete on is our personal relationships, right? We want to expand that. We've found that we can add a ton of value to agents. So we focus on building relationships with them so that they can monetize opportunities that they otherwise would struggle to do so with. We focus on, as you know, I was mentioning before we got on here, I'm pushing towards raising more capital so that we can get into some of these higher cost deals in the $2 to $5 million range. And so a lot of the personal branding has to do with attracting the right type of relationships that we're trying to foster in our business.
What I like about what you've done there is you pivoted long before the market ever changed. You pivoted in the manner in which you marketed for deals. So many people want to hit their head against the wall and just do more of the same, or try to churn. What I always said is they want to master in the minors. They try to churn whatever it is, their deficiency is, to a really good deficiency, but it's still a deficiency at the end of the day. Is that you've completely gone a different way to focus, to lean into probably what you do best, which is sell, which is build relationships, right? And you utilize your media following and what you do from a social perspective to do that versus try to get better at what everybody else is, and those with much bigger budgets had mastered a long time ago.
And the way that I'm now looking at our business is not necessarily how to increase the upside, but how do I reduce the downside as much as possible? There's a lot of downside when you're throwing out 20, 30, 40 grand a month in marketing, which I did for quite a while. If you don't get deals, that's going to hurt.
Yep.
The downside of a relationship strategy is you make more friends. That's it. There is no downside other than that. It's a downside on your time. And so that just works better with my style. And we don't need a large volume business if we're not spending a ton of money on marketing. And I never really wanted to own and operate a high volume real estate investment business. You know, I say this all the time. I got into real estate for it to be passive. And then you fast forward a few years and it's like, your business looks pretty active there, man. What can we do to reduce the downside so that all we're left with is upside?
Yeah. You find out that in a hurry, especially in single family, is passive left a long time ago. Maybe talk to me about your company culture, your core values. What is it that keeps people, your team ingrained, keeps you guys connected, keeps things flowing and working super well?
I love that question. My business is called Bunny Hill Properties. So it's a play on the local feel, the ski. We're all a bunch of skiers and all that. So our first core value is what we say, batteries included. It means I need you showing up with batteries included. If I have to be the one to motivate you to try it, you know, towards financial certainty, this is not the right team for you. I'm looking to attract the people who want to build their own personal brands around investing. It's kind of a decentralized model that I try to take here. We all add value to each other, but if you're not showing up with batteries included, you're not going to fit in well with our team. So that's the first one. The second is a direct result of my experience and training. I'm an industrial engineer by trade. And so I've always been a continuous improvement guy. So that is our second core value, is continuous improvement. I'm looking for people who have a passion for getting better every day. Again, as the leader, I'm looking to attract people who, you know, share similar core values of me. And I think that the people who have stayed with our team are the people who continue to get better every day. And then, as you know, in the investing world, there's all in the personal development, all the different areas we can improve. So that's a big aspect of our team. And then the last one is what I call on the mountain. So we have this vision of us climbing to the top of this mountain together. And it's a treacherous climb and there's fog, visibility is low. So we have to rely on each other and our strengths. That's why we've sort of positioned, you know, a project manager and acquisitions. We got retail. We've kind of got the bases covered. We all rely on each other to feed each other opportunities and deal flow. And so, yeah, that's our culture and that's how we make it work.
Talk to me about as you look down the line, 2023, 2024, where are you going? Where are you headed? Where's the team going?
It's a very good question. It's hard to see in my mind that far down the road. And I think in the past, I've made the mistake of trying to plan so far in advance. I don't do that anymore. Maybe that's not for the better or the worse. I'm not sure. We look at it as the next quarter. What needs to go right between now and the end of March? And it's always a relationship strategy. I think the way that I've built my business is not around a particular, we're wholesalers, we're fix and flippers, we do this. We've changed significantly, and maybe that's a result of still being a new business owner. We're starting to really hone our niche, the way that the market shifts, we have a very flexible style and we can adapt with that quickly. So what we're focused on now is the next 3-4 months, what needs to go right between now and then. And the team has a lot of trust in my ability to see down the road when it's appropriate and inform our behavior.
What would you say your team's superpower is?
Relationship building. Yeah. You know, I'm stacking my team with a bunch of people who understand the value of building relationships, long-term relationships. We spend a lot of time each week honing our craft and how do we add value to our different partners. A lot of times there's a question that bothers me a lot of times where someone will say, yeah, tell me how I can help. And that question puts the responsibility on the other side to Correct. Tell you how they can help. Yep. So we train our team to be observant, right? Look at the other party and understand what is valuable to them and go do it. So it takes a certain type of person, I think, to be good at those things. And that would be our superpower if I had to pick one.
Have you been to the vault? RealGritVault.com. Listen, we've got multiple guests who come on and oftentimes they bring us little tips, tricks, tools, scripts, Excel calculators, a multitude of things, and they share it. They share it for you. You can get them totally free. RealGritVault.com. Never been on the show, who's brought everything. It's all behind the vault. Get it. RealGritVault.com. Yeah, no, that's great. Wait, thinking back over the last 5 years, let's say, what's been the biggest challenge, or the biggest mess up, the biggest learning experience opportunity that you've had, that you've experienced?
Playing other people's game. You know, when you're new in this business, as you and I are in a family mastermind, right? Yep. Masterminds are fantastic. However, they're a breeding ground for comparison.
Yep.
And I am very, very susceptible to that. It's one of the biases I have to be very cognizant of. Shiny object syndrome, comparing yourself to other people. And so the first however many years that I was in business, I think I got caught in that trap of, well, I want to be a fix and flipper. I need to do more deals to keep up with these other people who are doing this deal volume. That took me out of playing my game. And it took me a little while to reconcile that and to get back to, you don't have to play somebody else's game. You can play your game, get closer to the things that you want in life. It's a preference. There's not a right or wrong answer to this. Once I figured that out, things got significantly easier for me.
How did you figure that out? I mean, obviously you know how to figure it out, but how did you actually come to terms with it? That's what I mean.
Losing money.
Yeah. Know? Chasing something else that wasn't your game and getting punished for doing it.
Exactly. You touch the stove and it's hot and you're like, wow, okay, don't do that again. A lot of it has to do with entrepreneurs have a tendency towards ego. I have an ego that oftentimes I have to wrestle with. You're trying to compete with the next level of investor. There's always another level and there's nothing wrong with improving and trying to get to the next level. But if it's taking you out of your game and getting you further away from the things that you actually want in life, well, that's a recipe for blowing yourself up in my mind. And I've experienced that in a milder sense. I mean, blowing up is not exactly the word I would use, but it's losing money. It's losing sleep. It's doing things that aren't aligned with my style and my game.
What I heard you say there is that things that took you offline, off track of that in which you actually want to accomplish, what that implies that one has to know what it is that they want to accomplish. It must be well defined. Mm-hmm. My experience is the better that is defined, the easier it is to put your blinders on and not worry about anything else, which social media does a poor job, or it does a great job at getting distracting us and taking us down a rabbit hole for what it is. And I think what you're, I'll mention, and I'll come off my soapbox in a minute. It's a poison for our youth in this country because so many teens and preteens have no idea what it is that they want. They're trying to figure it out, right? And social media looks perfect, but you've extrapolated that to even adults. Take us off, you know, somebody's got a shinier object, a cooler car, whatever it may be, and things can look awfully attractive that can open up one's blinders, if you will, and take them down a different path.
And it's all fear-based. You're afraid you're going to get left behind. You're afraid that you're not where you should be. And I've found that being able to label that, it's tough because it's biological. Right? Like we were given this, we're hardwired to feel these ways. We have a term that we use inside of my communities and on my team. We call it the solvable problem. Of course, I'm an engineer, so I like that phrase.
Yes.
It means you need to have a solvable problem for your life. If you don't know what getting closer means, you're likely to just chase more and more and more and more, and around we go. So solvable problem is a way for us to use that language to get clarity around what are you trying to accomplish here? If you don't know that, it's kind of like the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. Where are you going? Well, I don't know. Well, it doesn't matter which way you go.
Thinking about your childhood growing up, how did it impact what you do and who you are today?
I really like that question. I have a mentor who gave me a framework for understanding people's games. And it's actually a very similar question to what you just asked. He says, what was your favorite sport or hobby growing up? And mine was basketball. And so he says, how did you play the sport? I was the shooting guard. I was the scorer. Get me the ball and I'm going to take the last shot, a kind of a play. Right? That's how I played all through high school and college, or, you know, growing up, let's just say.
Yep.
And so I think it's interesting that the way that we are playing our game as kids oftentimes is like when you're in your element and you're in alignment with who you truly are, you're playing business in the same way that you played that sport. That's why I'm in sales, right? I want to take the last shot. If we don't get this deal, put the weight on my shoulders. I'm willing to take it. I find that when I can be in positions like that, it's the same kid who was shooting hoops in the neighborhood back when I was growing up. It's the same thing. Well, I try to align with that persona of who I was as much as possible.
I love that. If nobody's ever conveyed it in such a fashion that you just did, that's pretty cool. I'm going to give that some thought about what is it? I played multiple sports. How does that look and how is it manifested in how I operate at my peak today? That's cool. Talk to me about your community, the Whale Club.
Well, we are working on bridging the gap between, well, let me first start by saying crypto right now is a very taboo word. So we try to stay away from using that word. People get very confused between cryptocurrency and blockchain technology.
Two totally different things.
Yeah, one is an application of the other, but blockchain technology is very, very, very useful to us as real estate investors. So what we have is a community of real estate investors who are learning how to use blockchain to benefit them in their business. And we use this phrase to achieve financial certainty. We're all using our different tools, our real estate businesses, we're using our investments, we're using all this stuff, ideally to help us accomplish some sort of goal financially. There's probably other motives and things like this, but clearly we go into business to make money. So what we're doing is we've got a community of a couple hundred real estate investors and blockchain investors who are learning how to use blockchain and real estate to help them get financial certainty.
Maybe elaborate on the back. There's multiple case studies, use studies in which one can do that. Maybe give me one or two that just to get somebody, the listener's mind rolling as to go, oh, okay, now I see how that can be applied. Because for a whole bunch of people, yeah, you're right. You hear the word currency and your brain just shuts off. But that's the underlying technology is tremendous application uses.
Yeah. So I like to start by explaining technology at a high level. And what I did for 10 years was sell technology and innovation, like I said, to some of these companies. So I've got a little experience. And the best way for folks to understand technology is through stories. If I was to tell you, here's what the internet is, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I started describing networks and wires and zeros and ones and all this sort of stuff, you'd be like, what? I don't understand that. People understand it through the uses, how they actually make use of it. If you're describing someone what the internet is, you might say, well, I can send a message here in Denver to the other side of the country and you can get that in seconds. We call that email. And they're like, oh, email, internet. Okay, I get it now. And here's another application. You can go on, we call this a search engine. You can type in a question here and it'll spit out an answer. That's called Ask Jeeves. That's also the internet. And so people understood it through those applications. And I think the problem right now is everybody's looking at cryptocurrency and saying that application is gambling and I don't want anything to do with that. So we try to tell stories. And so with that being said, there's $1 trillion right now in the cryptocurrency market. And so for scale, to understand how big that is relative to other things, you could look at, let's say, the singular asset of gold. Gold has a $10 trillion market cap. There's 20,000 coins, Bitcoin, all these things. You add them up, that's about $1 trillion. Now, so 1 trillion to 10 trillion. BlackRock, for example, manages $10 trillion in assets. It's in its infancy, right? But what we're trying to do is we're trying to help these people who have made millions and millions of dollars in the crypto market get their money out of crypto and into a real asset like real estate. We want to get the new money into the old man assets. And so the idea, what we call this, is real estate tokenization. Let me give you another example to hopefully help tie this all together. Microsoft Excel. Everybody's familiar with Microsoft Excel. They dominated that industry for 20, 30 years. And then what happened? Google came along. And Google was like, you guys have a fantastic product. In fact, we're going to pretty much copy your logo. We're going to copy the formatting. We're going to copy the user interface. And we're going to make one change. That's it. It's on the internet.
That's right.
So instead of having to send a file and download it and rename it and send it back and all that sort of nonsense, you can just make changes in one sheet and it'll update in real time. So they took something and they put it on the internet. What we're doing right now is we're taking funds. So a lot of, you know, us real estate investors, we operate single family funds, 506B, 506C, crowdfunding, all sorts of stuff like that. And we want to take those funds and we want to tokenize them. So that in the same way we might buy stocks in a company, you could buy shares or coins in a real estate fund. So you take the fund as it exists, and it's the same exact product. In fact, you're just tokenizing a small percentage of it. So we can help these crypto investors downshift into something other than cash, because right now that's their only alternative. And they're like, right. I don't want cash.
Right.
That's, in my mind, the lowest hanging fruit for us real estate investors right now, is take the products that you're already doing and just sell it to a new capital source. So that's the opportunity as I see it.
It's pretty exciting. I can only imagine the amount of workload associated with actually having to execute on what it is that you just said. It's tremendous.
Yeah, it's been a long year, but it's been a good year. And this is where I'm trying to get my real estate business to run reliably and predictably. I lovingly say I want it to be boring because I like to spend my time on technology. It's who I am. It's what I've done for my entire career. That's why I'm so excited about this opportunity, because it benefits so many people. It benefits a real estate investor. They can tap a whole massive capital source for all their deals. And it's providing an incredible value for the crypto community, because not only do they not know how to buy real estate, they don't want to deal with any of the tenants. They don't want to deal with any of that stuff. And in fact, they don't even want to move it back to their bank account. That's more than they even want to do. They just like, just let me buy the coin. So yeah, I'm very passionate about it. It's a lot of work, but I think it's going to be a massive industry, a massive opportunity. And we're trying to lead the way with the Will Club.
No, that's terrific. Let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment. This is what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote: every system is perfectly designed to get the outcome it is currently getting. W. Edwards Deming said it. What about that resonates most with you? Yeah, it's totally. It is engineer spot on. And I read it and I was like, you're totally right. One doesn't give it that much thought, but it's spot on. But what about that resonates most with you?
It means if you don't like the outcome, I mean, there's three components, right? Inputs, processes, and outputs.
Yeah.
You don't like the output that you're getting, it's a direct result of the inputs and the processes.
Right.
Why I like that is everything is within your control. If you don't like the output, well, go back and change it. And so that quote resonates with me deeply, especially as a technical-minded person, but it's just so applicable in so many areas of my life. I think about it constantly.
Yeah, how much is true of that when you take it out of a system structure, if you will, from the engineer standpoint, and just put it in your own mind in real life? Your inputs, your processes equal your output, right?
Or the driving factors.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably a direct result of how you're engaging with those relationships.
Correct. That's exactly right. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
Lack of clarity. We talk about the solvable problem all the time. Is, you know, it's biological. I say this all the time. It's biological. We're not hardwired to be satisfied. We're hardwired to chase more and more and more and more. If you don't have a mechanism to actually help you get closer to the things that you want, and it's happened in my life, I've observed it in real time, you're just going to continue to spin your wheels. Getting to the next level is very difficult without clarity of where you're going. And I think that's probably what contributes most to lack of forward progress by an entrepreneur.
Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
Well, blockchain and technology, clearly.
Spot on. Yeah.
You know, this is where I spend all my time outside of my real estate business, is trying to understand this world, trying to position not only my community as the future leaders in this space, but bring as many resources and people who are working on that into what we're working on. So yeah, it's got to be blockchain for me.
Yeah. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
This phrase of financial certainty is, I'm very passionate about that. I think that there's a lot we can do as entrepreneurs to give back, not only to our team, but to others around us, to help them get closer to the things that they want. I think I'm just very passionate about that. I'm looking for other ways to continue building that out. I'm still very new in my career and my approach to this. So I'm trying to be the example right now. I'm trying to be the example of what's possible, how you can structure your life, your businesses, your investments to actually serve you, which is the ideal, right? This is what we all set out, this financial certainty. But so often we get further away from that. And I think, like I said, I'm working now to be the example, not only for my team, my family, my friends, but my community of how this is possible.
We launched the Real Grit Vault this year. It's a collection of resources available to our listeners. You've got a contribution to the vault today. You're contributing 4 masterclasses on blockchain and real estate. Tell us a little more about that.
It's such a foreign thing, right? For a lot of real estate investors, and they turn their brain off when someone starts talking about crypto or blockchain, and understandably so, because everyone is talking about what I call valid things, totally valid. Blockchain is an immutable ledger, digital, transparent, yada, yada, yada. And people are like, okay, I've tuned you out. We've got to start telling stories. We've got to start connecting to pre-wired ideas. So it's like, the internet's kind of like this thing that you're already familiar with. You know how you're already familiar with this? This is how blockchain is very similar to that. This is my experience over the last 10 years, is learning how to take these complicated concepts, put them in digestible, easy to understand things. And that's what I've done. These masterclasses are going to walk you through, from a real estate investor's perspective, not only like how to understand all this stuff, but how to make use of it. Validity, I don't really care about that. I want to know how it's useful. How is it going to benefit us? How can we use this technology? And that's what I've laid out over these 4 masterclasses. So if you want to learn about some of that stuff from somebody who speaks the real estate language, I think I can contribute that. And I think people will learn a lot from it.
That's terrific. Anybody can get that at www.realgritvault.com. Paul, thanks for that contribution. The ability to break something that could be overly challenging and complicated down to something very tangible is not easy. So I appreciate that contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to help.
This is a wonderful conversation. For people that want to find you, they want to follow you, they want to connect with you, where can they go? What should they do?
You can find me on Instagram, Paul Sparks Official. We're putting out a lot of content relative to the world of real estate and blockchain colliding. It's my mission to educate the world on what the opportunities are, what the next 5, 10, 20 years looks like in our industry. It's my opinion that blockchain is going to be as relevant as the internet, the paradigm shift with the internet. We're going to see very similar things with blockchain technology. So if you want to find out more about what I'm up to and follow along, go check out my Instagram, Paul Sparks Official.
Perfect. We'll make sure we get the link below in the show notes for everybody. Paul, I appreciate you taking the time to connect up here. It's fun conversation. It's fun hearing your backstory coming out of, let's call it a traveling salesperson role. And then a woman got you grounded and you found your home in real estate and now have married the two, right? Between real estate and technology. I've enjoyed this conversation, Paul. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. It was great to chat with you.
You bet. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must-answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.
Hey, it's Neil Timmons. I've got a question for you. Are you a fix and flipper and want to leverage your skills, build passive income, create bigger paydays? Maybe you buy and hold rental houses and you want to increase your income by working less. Maybe you're executing on the Burr methodology and times being what they are, you're finding more cash locked into a deal. Maybe you want more predictable profits, or maybe this is your first go at real estate. Well, I've got a challenge for you. The 20X Profit Challenge. It's hosted and taught by yours truly. I'm going to teach and show you over the course of 5 days in this totally free challenge how to 20X your profit. Lesson one's a game changer, multiplying your income and capital fast. Lesson two is the perfect plan. I'm going to show you how to be getting off market 20x profit deals coming to you. The cash flow multipliers, lesson three, how to rapidly force appreciation and income growth. Lesson four is the deal accelerator, buying and holding profit guarantee properties. And lesson five, the wealth accumulator, consistently closing a 20x profit deals. I'm going to show you exactly my methodology, exactly what I did to go from where I was at, not achieving the results I wanted to achieve in my life, not achieving that passive income that I hoped for, that I knew I was capable of, and in 3.5 years becoming financially free. I'm going to do that in a 5-day free challenge. To sign up, go to 20xprofitchallenge.com, 20xprofitchallenge.com. We've got one coming up. Go there now, register, it's totally free, 20xprofitchallenge.com, and I'll see you in the challenge.